Let's read the parable. And then, as I said, we will focus especially on the last two types of soil. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We read verse 4 to 15. In many Bibles, it will be called the parable of the sower. But as I said, the focus seems to be the soil. Verse 4. And when a great crowd had gathered, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. And the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Let's bow again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable. And Lord, we know that when Jesus taught it, he had something very definite in mind. Lord, we pray that the treasures we will find in this parable, even now, would be directly from you, that you would so guide us. And Lord, you would open our ears, each one of us, to hear and to respond in a way that will be pleasing to you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we desire fruit. We desire fruit in us, and we desire fruit through us. And we desire your purpose being fulfilled also in this message and this parable which comes to us. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Yeah. Well, we look at the four types of soil. And all of us, you could say, fall into one of the four types of soil. And maybe there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that in us. We mustn't think that people are divided. You are that, you are that, you are that in absolute, you know, definite quarters. There might be a bit of the one and a bit of the other. But only one of these four types of soil is acceptable. The others are not. Just to recap, the hard soil, the soil on the path, the seed comes, the word of God, and the word of God does not penetrate because the soil is hard. So the seed lands on the surface He doesn't go deep down. That's a person who's disinterested. Maybe he's got resistance to the Word of God. He does not want to hear. He hasn't got a deep interest. That's not somebody who would go out of his way to get to a Bible study or a prayer meeting or a service or to open the Bible and read it. He hasn't got a deep interest in those things. Maybe he is even against the Word of God. You come to him with the Word of God, he runs away. The hard ground. It is possible that somebody here is the soil in the hard ground. It's less likely because, I mean, what should you be doing, really, at a Bible college if you don't want the Word of God? So it's maybe unlikely but possible for somebody to be here with hard ground. The second one is better. I say better because the seed gets further. The seed not only lands on the ground, it goes in. And it germinates. Something happens there. The person believes the Word of God. At least believes in a way. Might not be saving faith. In fact, it isn't. But he believes a bit. But there's no depth. There's no root. The trials come, the temptations come, and this person just falls flat. It's a problem. He hasn't got a deep relationship with the Lord. He depends on other people's faith. He hasn't got a real saving relationship with the Lord. Now, it's possible that some here have got such a life. Shallow, stony, without that deep root going down, holding you firmly. If God puts you and you end up somewhere with unsaved people all around you, the Christianity will not show at all. You'll end up following that way because it's the easy way. You will be tested, and the person on the shallow soil, when he is tested, what happens? The Lord tells us here, he says, the plant withers, just like my spinach plants. No good. It does not bear fruit. It's fruitless. We don't want to be like that. The third type. Now we're going to focus a bit more. The third type is the thorny soil. And we can say the thorny soil is better than the stony soil. Why is that? Well, because the seed doesn't land there and the person believes for a little while and then stops. No. He believes for a bit longer. So their faith brings something more in their life. There's growth. That little wheat plant or spinach or whatever it might be, it grows, it gets bigger and bigger, but there's competition. There are weeds, there are thorns that are in that ground. And those thorns also spring up, and when the two plants are both quite big, the thorny plant gets the upper hand and chokes the other one. That's the parable. That's what happens here with this. Let's read it. We find just two verses which focus on the thorny soil. Verse 7 and verse 14. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. So here you have a heart, not a stony heart, but a heart that has got two things in it. The right plant, which is the fruit of the Word of God, and the wrong plant, which is the thorny plant. Two things in the same soil. Two things in the same heart. Verse 14. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. All right, we've gone past the hard ground because it's going in. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. It's wonderful that Jesus gave the interpretation of the parable. He says they are choked by the thorns. And then he says a little later, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. So we have a good idea of what is choking the Word of God. At a place like this, Mukanyo, I would say it's probably not likely that there are people that are the hard ground. People who are not interested in the Word of God. There may be some that are the shallow ground. You don't take the Word of God very seriously. Maybe somebody pushed you a little bit and said, go study it, Mukanyo. Maybe you're looking for a job and you just applied and you came here. And you've got a job here at Mukanyo. So it's possible. I'm not looking at anyone specifically. You can see my eyes are just going like that. This is a case of, you know, each person needs to look at their own life. Whether you are maybe that kind of ground. But generally speaking, we're dealing here with people that have gone further, isn't it? We're going on our way year after year as time goes on. But what happens? There's something else that comes up. And this other one is giving competition. And this soil is a problem. There's something wrong with this thorny soil. It's not a hard heart. It's not a shallow hard heart. It's a divided heart. And even as I use that word divided, some scriptures might come to mind. Some thoughts might come to mind. A divided heart. So there are thorns and there's the right plant. The plant that should bear fruit. The plant that you want to be there. The plant that God wants to be there. And one of the scriptures that come to mind, I'm sure, is you cannot serve God and mammon. You can only serve one master. So here's a person, he doesn't serve only one master. He serves at least two masters. He serves God, he says, I love God. And he serves money. He loves money. Or, I love God and I love pleasures. I love to enjoy myself. That's important for me. Or I love God and my relationship with these people or those people are very important to me. But you know, on all those points, Jesus challenges us. He says, he who loves father or mother or brother or sister or wife or children or even his own life more than me is not worthy of me. It's quite clear that when you come to discipleship, you need to put Christ first, not second. He says, seek first, not second, not third. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And there are a lot of people that fall through the cracks and come along in a church or in any kind of Christian work. There are people that follow through and they put Christ second. Somehow. There's competition. There's something else which is very important in their life. And it looks okay because they speak the right language. They do most of the right things. But there's something else that's important. And it comes up after a while. It comes up very definitely. Just like those thorns. After a while they come up. And it becomes very evident to anyone who's got eyes to see. So maybe the Lord is speaking to you about that. Maybe this is your kind of soil. And it shouldn't be. And I know that even as you hear this, you say, this is not right. This is unacceptable. This should not be. If the farmer comes past and he sees this piece of ground, he looks like I looked at that little spinach plant. With disgust, with disappointment. He says, so much water, so much fertilizer, so much effort has gone into this piece of ground. He's been hearing the Word of God. People have been preaching. He's been reading it. friends have been praying for him. There's activity and all sorts of things coming in his direction. But look what's happening here. Every time I come here, I've got to pull out another thorny plant. The thorny plants are there choking this poor little plant. The Bible speaks about this quite a bit. Luke chapter 10, there's quite a bit there. Verse 27 reminds us about the great commandment. You must love the Lord your God. Of course, this comes from Deuteronomy. Repeated in Matthew. Repeated in Mark. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Does it say you must love the Lord your God with half your heart and half your soul and half your strength and half your mind? No, it doesn't. It says with all your heart. Doesn't mean you mustn't love other people. But the love of God must so dominate that everything else must actually fit underneath it. Love God. Love the kingdom of God. Love His righteousness. Seek these things. That must be first. So what riches do you seek? What pleasures do you seek? One needs to look at that when you're considering this parable. When you consider the thorny ground, you think, what are those things that have got competition with what God is presenting to us? What is it in my heart that pulls me to something else? There are some examples we find in the Bible. One example I can think of is the rich young ruler. Maybe in your Bible there's the heading, the rich young ruler. You remember him? He was rich. He was young. I think he was a Pharisee. People looked up to him. Look at this wonderful example. Look at this young man. He's got everything. It's just wonderful. Following the Lord. Obeying God. Like on Tuesday we looked at John chapter 3 and we looked at Nicodemus. I think this was somebody sort of in the same category as Nicodemus. Although this one was definitely, Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin. But a rich young ruler, religious, and if you look at his life, what did he answer? He says, Lord, I have kept all these. You say, wow. Here's somebody who is keeping the commandments of the Lord. Not just when he became older, from his youth. So he must have had parents that really led him in all these wonderful things. But Jesus asked him to do something. Sell all that you've got and give to the poor. And what was his answer? He turned away and left. He didn't follow Jesus. Why? Because he was like the thorny ground. In his heart, there was one part that said, I love God, I love His laws, I want eternal life. And there was another part that says, I love money, I love the things that money can buy. I treasure these things are important to me. So he's got a heart that pulls this way and a heart that pulls that way. It's divided. It's not one heart. And so he left sad, and the Lord was sad about him leaving as well. Somebody else, Demas. You remember Demas? What was wrong with Demas? He started out well, it seems, We actually read that he was one of the people that worked together with Paul. What happened to Demas? When Paul was a bit older, he wrote something about Demas. He said he loved this present world. He has left us because he loved this present world. Now you think of the person that we should be, the real Christian. I love God and I'm a citizen of heaven. And I love God's kingdom, which is an eternal kingdom. But I love this present world. And this present world becomes the big love in my life. And so when I pray for this present world. My health, my bank accounts, the things that I own, my property, my family, my people, these are all good things. But when they get too big, they are like that thorny plant. I've got a divided heart because I love this present world. I love the things in this present world. My eyesight is not very good. I need glasses to be able to see further. I can see in this present world. I can't see in the next world. And so this person is unacceptable. He bears no fruit. Demas fell away because he loved this present world. So we find this soil is not good enough. It's thorny. I've come across some people that were the thorny plants. There in Namibia, I met up with a man in a place called Schlip. And I read from the Bible. I can't remember if I read from Luke or from Matthew, but I read the parable of the sower. And after sharing, I asked him if he wanted to respond in any way. He looked at me, he says, "I'm the thorny ground." I said, "Now, how so? How do you see yourself as a thorny ground?" He was quite active in his church. He says, "No, quite a while ago I was convicted that my smoking habit is not pleasing to the Lord. And I did nothing about it and I just carry on. And I just find it's destroying my testimony, it's destroying everything, but I'm holding on to it. And I find it's like my heart is divided. I'm like that thorny soil." Well, everybody's got their own story, but that was his response. And, well, it's important to look at yourself, like that man looked at himself. He looked at himself and he says, "Yeah, I'm the thorny ground." Maybe that's something like that in your life. There are many, but let's just move on. We come to the good soil. This was the thorny soil, but we would like to see the good soil. Let's just read the two verses that speak about the good soil. Verse 8. "And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said as he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" In Matthew's account, it says, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So maybe Jesus told this parable a few times. Maybe the one time he just spoke about the 100-fold, or maybe Luke is just bringing out that specifically. But here is soil that is good. Soil that is fruitful, like that soil that the mango tree was growing on, or is growing on. Good soil that bears good fruit. The farmer is happy. Verse 15. "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast," they hold fast the word, "in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." I like the word "with patience." The true Christian will sometimes battle and see little fruit, but he needs to have patience. So what is this good soil? I think one way to look at it is negatively, and then another way is positively. Negatively, you say, well, it's not like the other three kinds of soil. The good soil is not hard. So if it's not hard, what must it be? Soft. Which means my heart must be soft. I must have a heart that is soft. I must be hungry for the Word of God. When it comes to me, I must make sure I make way and let that seed go deep down into me. I must not stand listening to the Word of God and saying, "Yes, that's a good message for that one." Oh, this word is really good for my sister. I must also not hear the word of God somehow with my ears, but my mind is busy and saying, yes, I'm lecturing just now. I hope I'm prepared well. Or I'm writing a test just now. Or just your mind is somewhere else and you're not taking in the words. A soft heart is a heart that responds to the word of God and lets it come right in and says, Lord, what will you say to me now? What are you saying to me? How must I respond to your word that you are bringing to me? Let me take it in and take it in deeply and well. A hungry, soft heart where the seed can penetrate deep down. If I'm having my quiet time, I try and have it in a room where it's a bit quiet, not with a big noise. And if I'm thinking of other things, try to push those things out of my mind. Focus on the Word of God. A soft heart. It must also be deep. It's not shallow soil like the stony soil. It's not like that. It's deep. There's a root. Which means I must make sure that I'm deep. Make sure that I have a deep, genuine relationship with the Lord. Somebody comes to me, asks for prayer. I don't run to the pastor and say, Pastor, please pray for that one. I can say, well, I can pray for you. Why? Because I've got a relationship with the Lord. When temptations come, the devil really has to try hard. He's got to go use all his machine, all his tricks. Because I'm rooted. I'm deep down. When the sun comes up, I don't just die. I'm there. Standing stronger because the Lord is enabling me. I've got the grace given by God. And I'm standing. Resisting. I've got my armor on. I'm not without any armor. So, deep soil. Deep, genuine relationship with the Lord. Another thing we can say, it's not a divided heart. It's not a divided heart. There's not one part that says, like Demas, I love this present world. And the other part that says, I love God. No, the whole heart says, I love God with my whole heart and my whole soul and my whole strength, or all my strength and everything. I love Him. This life belongs to Him. I don't put my family first. I don't put my things first. I don't put my income first. I put the Lord first. He's my one single love in my life. And I keep what comes from the Lord and I respond to Him. The Bible also says it's an honest heart. In verse 15 it says it's an honest heart. Taking away all pretensions. You're not pretending. It's an honest heart. It's open and honest before God and before others. Maybe the Lord speaks to you, but you're not prepared to speak to anybody about it. And you just pretend before everyone that everything is fine in your own life. If you believe things are not right in your life, speak to people, speak to God, do something about it. Don't carry on pretending that you are fine. I still remember a minister that I had in a church in Stellenbosch. He told about how he was converted. And he said the message came, but he was a Sunday school teacher. When that message came, he was really convicted. And at the end of the message, there was an invitation to respond and to receive some counseling. And he told us what he thought. He thought, I'm going to go forward and ask for that counseling. And he was about to get up and he looked to the side and he saw his Sunday school children there. And he thought to himself, my Sunday school children are watching me. What will they think if I go forward saying I need the Lord? But eventually he went. Now, I'm not saying that we need to go forward in a meeting to be converted. A person can be converted anywhere. But that just touched me. He was open and desperate. A good heart. A heart which loves what is righteous, and a heart which is changed by the grace of God. It's a gracious heart. It's a heart that the Lord has prepared. There are some examples, and I'm going to mention one. The Apostle Paul. I want to mention him because he especially indicates somebody that is different to the divided heart. He's different to the thorny soil. Here was a man who, in his words that you read in the Bible, as a convert, as a person who was a real Christian, who was a man of one thing. This one thing I do, you read those words. He wasn't easily distracted. He was so zealous to follow the Lord. This world didn't pull him very much. He was stoned. What did he do? Carried on preaching. He was criticized. What did he do? He carried on. Why? Because his life was deep. His relationship with the Lord was deep. And he was undivided. He saw one thing in his life. He wanted to seek the Lord. In Corinthians, he even says it. He says, to be pleasing to the Lord. That's the one thing I desire. To be well pleasing to the Lord. Modern examples, there are plenty. We must desire fruit in our lives. So let's just recap a little bit. We're looking at this soil, and each of us has to evaluate it and consider where we are and how we should respond. The word has come to us in a message, and one way to respond would be like the hard ground. Say, I'm not interested. Let the seed just bounce off and be picked up by the devil or by whatever. I won't do anything. A second response is to be like the shallow soil. I take it in. I say, well, it's fine. But I don't take it deep down, deep to my very heart. And I end up being a person that just falls over and I'm easily tempted. The third kind, the divided heart, the heart that is split in two, where I'm not committed with my whole heart to follow the Lord. If I find that I'm one of these kinds of soil, one of these first three kinds, what must I do? Am I a Christian? Is it possible to be a Christian and be one of those three? Where the main thing in my life is I'm one of these three. I don't believe it's possible. It means I'm not a true Christian. And if I'm not a true Christian, what must I do? Must I wait until the Lord saves me? Or must I respond in some way? When the Lord speaks to me, and when the Lord speaks to you, you need to respond. If you find Him speaking to you, it means He's already doing something. That should give you courage. Seek the Lord until you find Him. Seek the Lord for more until you find that more. And do the things that the Lord commands. Repent. Anything you know that's wrong in your life. You can see it. The Lord brings it to your attention. Repent from it. Don't just leave it. Make sure your trust is in the Lord and not in anything else. Make sure you've got a genuine trust where you're totally dependent, resting on the Lord. And look at your life to see whether you are bearing that kind of fruit which is described in the good soil. When I look at this, I long to be more fruitful. I look at the hundredfold and I wonder, you can't always see fruit. Just a last thought before I close. Fruit is not always converts. Don't count your converts and then say, I haven't got converts, so therefore I'm unfruitful. God will decide about that. There are many things you don't see. The fruit is the fruit of a genuine Christian life. Grace, love, righteousness, seeking God's kingdom, seeking to be obedient to the Lord in your life. That is the fruit that is there. Character, Christian character. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't say converts. It says other things. May the Lord help us to look at our lives, to see it as our lives as God sees it, and to respond the way the Lord wants us to. Let's pray. Lord, thank you very much again for this parable. It's just one of the many parables. And yet, Lord, I pray that you would shine your light on these words. And you would shine your light on our own hearts. That we would know where we stand. That we would know what the gardener says about this piece of ground that is our own life. And I pray, Lord, that you would change the soil into good soil wherever it is not good soil. Please do this, Lord. We pray your Holy Spirit to be at work in doing this for Jesus' sake. Amen.